Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janabalava Dirbanadari. Gopi Janabalava Giribanadari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janabalava Giribanadari. Gopi Janabalava Giribanadari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janabalava Giribanadari. Gopi Gopi Janabalava Giribanadari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. 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 Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parbrahmacharya Asta Sarashi Shimad His Divine Grace Aisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Sri Das Kauri Ki Jai Prem Shikahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki, Navadweep Dham Ki, Vrindavan Dham Ki, Gangamayi Ki, Shimati Tulsi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. We're going to be reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's no book up here for it, but I think I can get it on my phone. Just a moment. Actually, it's on the board. Would somebody like to read the Sanskrit or the Bengali? Chapter 23. Yeah. Thank you. Sahaya e chari mili. Bhava stavika vibhichari. Bhava sahaya e chari mili. Vai Baba Anubhava Statvika Vichari. Vai Bhava Anubhava Statvika Vichari. Stai Bhava Rasahaya Echari Mili. Vai Bhava Anubhava Statvika Vichari. Stai Bhava Rasahaya Echari Mili. The synonyms: Vaibhava, special ecstasy; Anubhava, subordinate ecstasy; Saivika, natural ecstasy; Vabhichari, transitory ecstasy; Staibhava, permanent ecstasy; Rasa, mellow; Haya, becomes; Achari, these four; Mili, meeting. Translation: permanent ecstasy becomes a more and more relishable transcendental mellow through the mixture of special ecstasy, subordinate ecstasy, natural ecstasy, and transitory ecstasy. And I'm supposed to read three verses, so text 49. Sorry, I'm on my phone here. Just going to go to the translation. Yogurt mixed with sugar candy, black pepper, and camphor is very palatable and tasty. Similarly, when permanent ecstasy mixes with other ecstatic symptoms, it becomes unprecedentedly tasty. And 50. There are two kinds of particular ecstasies, vibhava. One is called the support, and the other is called the awakening. The vibration of Krishna's flute is an example of the awakening, and Lord Krishna himself is an example of the support. And there's no purports. Om Agyana Timarandasya Ganangana Salakaya Chaksarum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Prapakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminit Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nevasesha Sunyavadi Pastatade Shatarne Hare Krishna. So, first of all, I want to thank everybody for coming for this class, and I want to beg for your mercy that I can say something that will glorify and please Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Usually, I was given these three verses to speak on, and this isn't a very, they're talking about a very high stage of Krishna prema, of pure love of God. So it's actually beyond my realization. And usually when there's no purports, we don't comment on it because Srila Prabhupada didn't think to comment on it. but there are different reasons why he wouldn't comment on it. One is because it's already very clear and understandable. It doesn't need a purport. There can be other reasons, like Krishnadas Kaviraj, some places says that he doesn't want to elaborate further because he's afraid of increasing the volume of the book. So that can be another reason. And another reason is that Srila Prabhupada explained it already, like in the Nectar of Devotion, and also the book Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So it's been explained before there. So, like I said, this is beyond my realization. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was encouraging people to write, he said that you should write from your own realization. And also he said that for preaching, is that he said you should read my books and then explain it in your own words. So that's what I'm going to be trying to do. But because it's so far beyond my realization, I might read some sections from different books, because I don't really know how to put it in my own words from what he's already said. So, yeah, these things are, in one sense, inconceivable. In other words, it's beyond our conception, and it actually has some meaning, you know, that it is inconceivable. We won't be able to understand it. And our acharyas have given one example of, you know, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and this pure love of God. He said they say it's like a little child, like, you know, 3 years old. If you try to explain to them, you know, conjugal relationships, he said they won't be able to understand it because they're just not able to. So in the same way, we can't really understand these different features in pure love of God, but it's purifying just to hear it. I wanted to read something from the Nectar of Devotion. Let's see if I can find it here. Yeah. And this is just talking about these different kinds of ecstasies that we just read about. It says, the particular type of ecstatic loving sentiment that develops within the heart of a particular devotee is considered to be vibhava, and the resultant manifestations of such as moving of the eyebrows, fear, astonishment, and smiling, which have been explained herein before, are called anubhava. The different causes for developing anubhava and vibhava are called steady ecstasy or sanchari bhava. Whenever there is a recitation of poetry or a dramatic play on the different pastimes of Krishna, the audience develops different kinds of transcendental loving service for the Lord. They enjoy different types of vibhava, anubhava, and sanchari bhava. And this next paragraph, I think, is very important. No one, while remaining on the material platform, should discuss these different descriptions of bhava and anubhava by quoting different statements of transcendental literatures. Such manifestations are displays of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. One should simply try to understand that on the spiritual platform, there are many varieties of reciprocal love. Such loving exchanges should never be considered to be material. In the Mahabharata, Bhishma Parvata, it is warned that things which are inconceivable should not be subject to arguments. Actually, the transactions of the spiritual world are inconceivable to us in our present state of life. Great liberated souls like Rupa Goswami and others have tried to give us some hints of transcendental activities in the spiritual world. But on the whole, these transactions will remain inconceivable to us at the present moment. Understanding the exchanges of transcendental loving service with Krishna is possible only when one is actually in touch with the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. In this connection, Srila Rupa Goswami gives an example of the clouds in the sky. The clouds in the sky arise from the ocean, and when the clouds become water again and fall to the ground, they glide back to the ocean. Thus, the pleasure potency of Krishna is compared to the ocean. The pure devotee is the pleasure-possessing cloud, and when he is filled with transcendental loving service, He can bestow his mercy as a downpour of rain, and the pleasure potency returns to the ocean of Krishna. So, this is just a, you know, I'm trying to get an understanding of these different ecstasies. And, you know, this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Sanatana Goswami. And he wants Sanatana to establish devotional service, especially the mood of the gopis as the topmost way of worshiping Krishna. It is the topmost method of worship, these mood of the gopis. And even though it may be, you know, way beyond us, it's inconceivable, just by hearing about it, we become purified. But we have to be careful that we don't take it as material activities. They are completely spiritual. And even like Lord Chaitanya, who is very, very careful to follow the etiquettes of sannyas, or he wouldn't associate with women. And also Sukadeva Goswami, who was a Naistika Brahmachari. They're talking about these pastimes between Radha and Krishna, which on the surface, they appear to be just like the mundane activities between boy and girl, but they're not. In the one of the ways we can understand it, as these great personalities who had nothing to do with the material world were completely beyond the bodily conception, they were talking about these things, they were glorifying these things, they were relishing these things, and we can also. So it was interesting. I was at a darshan in New Vrindavan in 1976. And Srila Prabhupada was there, and he was talking about different bodies of water. And this one devotee, his name was Advaita Acharya, a very good friend of mine in New Vrindavan, he asked a question. It was just kind of out of the blue. And he says, when one returns to his sarup, and Prabhupada immediately cut him off. He said, don't talk of sarup. You know, what did it say? Anartha nivritti. You know, first of all, you become pleased of all, become cleansed of all your material desires. Then you can talk of sarup. And when I was reading about this, because it's all, you know, there on the Veda base and things, you can't really get the idea of how Prabhupada was just sitting back in his Vyasasana, and as soon as he said this, you know, well, when we attained our sarup, Prabhupada just sat up and, you know, just cut him off. He said, don't talk of sarup. You know, first you first you follow the four regata principles, and then you can, you know, then when you become purified, then you can talk about these things. So we should understand that that is our position, but, you know, Krishna says, always think of me, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita. And this is a way to think of Krishna, is to know about Krishna. Actually, in the same darshan, I believe, Srila Prabhupada was criticizing America with their slogan, "In God We Trust." He said, yeah, very good, you trust in God, but first you have to know who is God before you can trust him. And so they're talking like this, but it's all a bluff because actually they don't trust God and they have no knowledge of God. So we can learn all these things. We know about God. We know about Krishna. We know where he lives, who his parents are, what his activities are, you know, who his girlfriends are, all these things. We know so much of Krishna. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada has given so many books about Krishna. And in that way, we can always think of Krishna. And just by thinking of Krishna, even if we're not purified, we're not on this, you know, stage of talking about different kinds of ecstasies, we become purified just by hearing about it. So that's the process, and that's what we want. I was also thinking of this one time A reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you get out of chanting Hare Krishna? And he replied, chanting Hare Krishna. So it's a very sublime answer that if we chant Hare Krishna, we get more chanting of Hare Krishna. And that's what we want. We just want to keep chanting Hare Krishna. And so our devotional activities are like that. By hearing about Krishna, we just want to hear more about Krishna. And it works, I don't know the right word, conversely, that if you talk about material things or prajalpa or engage in material activities, you also become addicted to those things and you become more and more want to do those. Because it says in the Nectar Devotion also that one of the results of sinful activities is you get a further seed to commit more sinful activities. So we have to be careful not to engage in these sinful activities, follow the four regulative principles, and chant our rounds, 16 rounds every day, and try to always be absorbed in Krishna, always thinking of Krishna, doing something for Krishna. And that's the process that we've been given. So, yeah, the result of devotional service is which we get love of God, life's ultimate goal. That's the name of this chapter. We don't have the book in here, but the chapter heading is life's ultimate goal. And that's what Lord Chaitanya was teaching to Sanatana Goswami. And it's very interesting that at the very end of this chapter, after Lord Chaitanya has explained all these different things of, people that are just progressing on love of Godhead, people who actually have it, and what all the symptoms are and things, Sanatana Goswami, he actually took a piece of straw and put it in his mouth, which is a sign of great humility. And he fell down at the lotus feet, and he actually held on to Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And he said, please, please tell me, he said, Lord Chaitanya, tell me that whatever I have instructed you, let it all be fully manifest unto you. And so Lord Chaitanya actually placed his hand on his head when Sanatana Goswami was at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, and he actually said those words, whatever I have instructed, may it all be fully manifest to you. So this is, how we can get the mercy of our spiritual master, of the previous of acharyas. We have to have this great humility. We have to want it. I mean, everything is based on desire. That's a great open secret in devotional service, is that everything is based on your desire. If you want to be a good devotee, then Krishna will help you, but you have to want it. And you have to do all, if you want it, then you do all the things that it will take to get it. So everything is based on our desire, and we have to learn how to desire it. We have all these wonderful prayers, like the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. And you can see in these prayers, they're all expressing like in great humility how they feel fallen, but they want the mercy of the Lord. They want to be engaged in his service. So I was going to read, there's other things in Nectar Devotion, and there's this really wonderful pastime I was going to read from this book. It's called Braja Leela, Giriraj, the King of Mountains by Dina Bandhu. And this is also, this pastime is way above my realization, but I thought it was very nice, and it talks about these different ecstasies. And this one they're particularly talking about here is Prema Vaichitra. And it is manifest when a lover and beloved meet, and yet they fear separation. So in conjugal love, there are two departments, meeting, sambhoga, and separation, viparlumba. On the platform of meeting, There are unlimited varieties that are beyond description. Viparlumba has four divisions, Purvaraga, Mana, Pravasa, and Prema Vichitra. And the Prema Vichitra is described in Ujjavala Nilamani by Srila Rupa Goswami as follows. Prema Vichitra is a word used to indicate an abundance of love that brings about grief from fear of separation, although the lover is present. So now we're going to get this description by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the same one that wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, but first, leading up to it, Srila Vishnurath Chakravarti Thakur in his Ananda Chandrika commentary on this verse explains that this apparent contradiction behavior through several interesting analogies. For example, when we tell a voracious Brahmin to eat nicely, he responds that he has not eaten much, and even after eating a lot. Also, when one is affected by severe fever, one feels thirsty and drinks water frequently, yet still he complains of thirst. Similarly, in the midst of joking, singing, and dancing, suddenly the divine couple enters into a deep feeling of separation, losing their intelligence and longing for each other. So Vaishnava poets like Vidyapati, Chandadasi, Balaram Das, Jayanta Das, Govinda Das, Kalidas, Lochan Das, and many others have written about this Prema Vaichitya in their poetry, Padyavali. At Radhakun, this Prema Vaichitya is manifested in the following pastime, taking from Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Govinda Lilamrita. So once, Krishna was wandering around joking with the gopis, and he came to Lalita Nandakun, that is situated on the north side of Radhakun. One bee, attracted by the fragrance of the Shakis' faces, tried to land on them, but the Shakis chased the bee away. Smelling Radha's face, the bee became insane and began hovering around her while buzzing. With frightened eyes, she tried to ward off the bee with her lotus hands as her bangles jingled. When the bee, out of greed, would not go away, she fled towards Krishna, hid herself by his side, covering her face with his scarf. When that bee went to the lotus forest, the Shakis told Radha, "Don't be afraid, Shaki. Madhusudan," which can mean the bee, or it could also mean Krishna, eagerly went to the Padmavali, the lotus forest, or Padma's friend, Chandravali. So hearing this, Radhika thought that Krishna had gone to see Chandravali. Blinded by a wealth of love for him, she could not see that Krishna was standing right next to her. The Shakis, understanding Krishna's gestures, did not bring Radha back to her senses, for they wanted to astonish Krishna by showing Radhika's love ecstasy to him. Bewildered by her separation and union, Prema Vichitra, Radha thought that Krishna had gone to another lover, so she angrily went and told Dhanista, "Dhaniste, impudent girl, where has Krishna, the hero of the deceitful dancing girl, Chandravali, gone?" And Dhaniste said, "Saki Radha, he has gone to pick lotus flowers for you." And Radha said, "No, you cheat. He went to the friend of Padma, Chandravali. If he brings Chandravali here, what will happen? The luster of her face will fade away before yours," Dhaniste said. "Oh, Dhaniste, you're not at fault here. I'm a fool. I believed your deceptive words, even though I heard that Krishna had gone to a dense grove with Saibya. Thus, I made a mistake of coming to see that cheater Krishna." Not looking at anyone, Radha hung her head in sorrow and spoke in a pensive mood. "Alas, even Dhaniste, who is very dear to me as life itself, is also cheating me. Krishna has left me to enjoy with Chandravali in my favorite forest. My lover has gone off with her in front of my eyes. Aha! How sad it is that hiding Chandravali somewhere in a grove near the bank of my Kund, devious Krishna has brought me here, and after telling me all sorts of lies, he now abandoned me and has gone back to Chandravali. Oh, how can I tolerate this? Lalita said, O Sakhi, I've witnessed deceitful behavior so many times, but you're so naive and don't notice it. Now let's go home. Saying this, Lalita took Radha by the hand, strolling towards her home. Out of fear, humility, eagerness, and distress and separation from Krishna, Radha confided in her dear friend, Sakhi Lalita, why does my obstinate mind ignore Krishna's faults? Despite seeing them, I still imagine that he has so many good qualities. What can I do? Lalita replied, just like the sastika grain never comes out of its husk, even if it's ripe, the lusty desires of a lady are never outwardly manifest, even if the vine of these desires has matured. Radhika said, O Lalita, stop this talk on morality. Your words are hurting my ears and breaking my heart. My life is leaving me. My body is whirling. Let my anger cease. Let my dignity and shyness leave me. O Lalita, quickly take me to my beloved. Lalita replied, Krishna is the king of cheaters and the lover of different women. Alas, there is no girl so as naive and restless as you. Seeing these qualities of yours, he'll cheat you again and again. Radha said, what more can he do to hurt me? While saying this, she saw Krishna in front of her embracing some other girl from behind. This was actually her own reflection in his body. Taking the reflection to be Chandravali, she turned her face away with shyness and envy, and her body shook with anger. With a hint from Krishna's eye, Kundalata then spoke to Radha. O Radha, you've been longing to see your lover, and now your lover with an anxious heart has come to see you. Quickly go and meet him. Why do you turn away in anger? Radhika said, you cheat. Can't you see Chandravali in Hari's chest? You brought me from my home to see this? Krishna said, O Radha, this isn't the person you think it is. This person came to me saying, I'm a goddess of this forest, a friend of Radha, and forcibly embraced me, putting herself on my chest, kissing and embracing me. By her magical power, her back has become stuck to my chest. I can't get rid of her, and even she's unable to free herself. Though I begged her, she doesn't leave me. Tell your friend not to do this. She's torturing me. Then Lalita whispered in Radhika's ears, this is your own reflection in Krishna's chest, not Chandravali. Understanding her mistake, Radha lowered her head. Seeing this, Krishna and all the Sakhis began to laugh. Kundala said, Radhika, O Radha, you can't see your lover even if he stands right in front of you. You're thinking your reflection to be some rival girl. You fear Chandravali everywhere. How wonderful is the dance of your love. Thus Radharani displayed the prema vichitra separation and union in the most extraordinary way in Radha Kund. And then this is a verse by the poet Chandidas. Never seen or heard such love. One's heart is bound to another on its own. The two are sitting on each other's lap, and yet both are crying and thinking they are separated. They are feeling as if they would die if they don't see each other, even for half a moment. So I just wanted to read that to, one, because I really like it. And when I read it, I thought it was a really wonderful pastime. How strong is Radha's love for Krishna, that even sometimes when she's right there with him, she'll fear his separation, or she'll actually feel this separation. And like I say, it's way above me. But just by hearing these things, we become purified. And Srila Prabhupada, there's another, you know, this pastime with Radha happened at Radhakund, you know, when the bee was buzzing her face and she, you know, hid in Krishna's shawl. There was another pastime in the 10th canto when Uddhava went to deliver a message to the gopis in Vrindavan. Radharani started talking to a bumblebee. In the same way, was this complete separation and this madness, this Mahabhava, when she was talking to a bumblebee. Anyways, I think I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or discussions.
Thank you so much. That was very informative. That was very inspiring. You started by professing that while these things seem one way on the surface, they actually have a very different significance underneath that we're all trying to understand as devotees of the Lord. So I'm just going to put this out there. Is Krishna a heartbreaker?
Yes and no. I mean,
excellent.
In the one sense, I mean, materially, you know, we say a heartbreaker is, you know, like a man who, you know, will, many women are attracted to him, but he's not at all interested in them and he breaks their heart. But, you know, just like I said when they asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you get out of chanting? You know, and he said, you know, chanting, more chanting. So the gopis and all devotees, they want to please Krishna, you know, and Krishna is pleased when their love intensifies more and more. So Krishna does things to intensify their love. So Krishna is actually just fulfilling their desires of increasing their love. So in that sense, you know, he's not a heartbreaker, but he's actually fulfills their heart's most desire and their love. So all these activities of Krishna, yeah, they're very, very deep, and on the surface they may appear one way, but actually, you know, this is what Radharani wants. This is what the gopis want. You know, they want to love Krishna more and more, and Krishna wants that also. They want to please Krishna. So, you know, whatever is the gopis' love, a pure devotee's love, is not at all material. They have no desire for satisfying their own senses. But Krishna wants to please the devotee. And of course, the way that the devotees become pleased is that if they see Krishna pleased. So there's like a competition. And again, it's inconceivable. I mean, in here, in the material world, we can't conceive of anything beyond past, present, and future. You know, we're bound by this past, present, and future. It's, how can we conceive of something that, you know, is beginningless? Because all our experiences are if something has a past, a present, and a future. So there's a nice description that when, you know, Radharani comes in and sees Krishna, and Krishna sees Radharani's beauty, he smiles, and Krishna becomes more beautiful. And when Radharani sees Krishna smiling, becoming more beautiful, she also smiles, and she becomes more beautiful. And Krishna sees Radharani smiling, become more beautiful, he smiles even more, and he becomes more beautiful. And this happens eternally. You know, it's going on eternally. And that is something that, like I say, it's beyond. It's inconceivable. That word actually has a meaning that we can't really understand, you know, what that is, but we can get a glimpse, or we can have firm faith. You know, we've seen the like the character and the person of Srila Prabhupada, and we can see how wonderful, you know, he is, and that he has this love of God, this love of Krishna. And when you love Krishna, you love all of Krishna's living entities, and he's, you know, merciful, and he wants to help them. That's the one of the qualities of a Vaishnav, that he feels compassion to all living entities, all living souls, and he wants to help them. So, yeah, so Krishna, he, everything he does, is with this great love. You know, he loves us more than we love him. He wants us to come back more than we want to come to him. Anyways, just trying to explain that somewhat. And now a very good question from our Street to D, Prabhu.
Well, riffing off of what y'all just said, whatever's going on in those pastimes, it's just it's intensifying and increasing the love. You said all this. So to us, if you're heartbreaking or lust or whatever, that's really a reflection of where we're at, projecting it.
Right.
That's one way to look at it. The other thing to be careful is, in our current conditional sense, to some degree, we want to be alienated from Krishna. We don't, or we want him a little bit, or on our own terms. So, if we want our heart broken, that relationship broken, he'll back off, and we'll be heartbroken. But that's not the rasa that's being described here.
Right. Yeah.
You already said all that, but I felt I had to say.
Yeah. No. Thank you. That makes it a little clearer, and that. Feelings of love and separation, it actually increases their love. It's not that they give up or they become frustrated and go away. It actually intensifies the love. You got a question over here?
It's referred to as a perverted reflection, the thing that you're describing in relation to whatever you might feel.
Yeah, that's correct. So, any other questions or comments? Okay, so thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.